I am the first and last child of a father from Durham, North Carolina, mother from Lexington, Virginia, which is where I was born, in a hospital named after Confederate General Stonewall Jackson. My parents, needless to say, in the late 40s, early 50s, they wanted to escape the South. They started their migration north. They ended up here in Baltimore, Morgan State College, it was called at that point in time. They met, fell in love, got married. My father then went to go to optometry school and Pennsylvania State Optometry School. He and John Jones were two of the first, if not the first, colored students at the school. They would be colored back then. He told a story that he once cut his hand in the biology class or something, and a white student looked at him and said, "Your blood's red too." So, you know. He then graduated, went to Ohio with John Jones, who was from Dayton, and went took the boards in Columbus. He met a doctor there who said, "You should come to Toledo, Ohio, because it's a town with a lot of black factory workers and all automotive workers, and they have no black optometrists." So my father said, that sounds great. So he moved me and my mother there. And when they got to Toledo, they also left the Baptist and Methodist faith. They became Lutherans. And I was baptized a Lutheran. And we had a black Lutheran church with a black Lutheran pastor. A Lutheran church eventually had a black Jesus on the wall. But they also met another optometrist, Dr. Lindsay, and his wife Helen, who were Scottish-Canadian Lutherans. Helen Lindsay was the treasurer at Maumee Valley Country Day School. She convinced my parents that they should integrate the school and I should take the test for admission, which I passed. So I became in first grade the first Negro student at Maumee Valley Country Day School. And it was kind of an odd experience. I got on the bus first thing in the morning, an hour bus ride, last one off. But I was the first, and it was a special school. And people, my parents' friends, always apologized to them and felt sorry for me because I was at a special school. They thought the Country Day School was for children who had learning disabilities. And at about that time, my parents decided they needed to get a new car also. So they bought a 1961 Thunderbird. It was beige, white Landau top, matching leather seats, because they wanted a sporty, cool car. It was a pretty cool car. Also, they weren't buying a Cadillac. They could not abide being in a Cadillac because it had racial implications. So, first grade, I was in the bathroom one day. A kid called me a little black boy in the bathroom. Mrs. Richardson, in her wisdom, took him up in front of the blackboard, stuck a bar of soap in his mouth. So I felt very protected and very strange. And we learned the French national anthem in my school. We spoke French. I always tested out of the grammar classes and things like that because I guess I was a pretty dedicated student. Then we got more Negroes coming in. They all failed their test for grade level. They all got put back, but they wanted to integrate the school. So I was in an awkward position for a couple of years. And my students, my colleagues, they were rich and industrious kids, glass factories, champion spark plug, whatever rubber, whatever ancillary businesses for the automotive industry are Detroit. So they would all go to Florida for vacation in the springtime for Easter. We would go to Virginia to see my grandparents. We'd drive to Breezewood. When you got to Breezewood, my parents would stop. We'd go to the bathroom. We'd eat. They wouldn't stop in Virginia. They got to Lexington unless they really, really had to. There were no interstate highways really in Virginia at that point in time, so you drive through the river valleys in the small towns with the forsythia blooming in the springtime, drive by the Sinclair gas station with the green dinosaur out front, if anybody remember that. You get to Lexington, of course, you couldn't eat in the restaurants because they didn't serve Negroes or colored people at that point in time in Virginia. So we would hang out there, and then we'd get in the car to come back home. My mother would always say, as we're rolling down the hill, North Randolph Street, "We're going back north, going to Ohio. No more ain't, no more y'all, no more ma'am, no more sir." I always wanted to say, "Yes, ma'am," ain't going to say them word no more. But she probably would not appreciate a young child's irony. So I'd get back to school, and all the students would look at me and go, "Wow, we're in Florida. I'm darker than you are." My sort of humiliation. So my response would be, "I'm going to be a good student." So in like fourth or fifth grade, we had a reading club sort of thing. So I made it a point to read 35 or 40 books, because I wanted to be the best reader in the class. Once again, we go through, you know, my parents would come to school and check with the PTA meetings kind of thing. They once complained that Penguin Books, because it's a British publisher, they would use the word colored, spelled with a U. They also spelled theater R-E, not E-R. And the teacher said, "No, it's a good book." And it was an interesting book. It was a kid's book from Penguin Books. It was intellectual. and it didn't much bother me. And I made my way through, like, reading all these books, and then I once again, sixth grade, placed out of the grammar class. We do improv theater classes. I was pretty good at that. And then we get to middle school, seventh, eighth grade. Now, our seventh and eighth grade at the Country Day School required that you wear a coat and tie to school. They wanted to be young gentlemen and young ladies. My mother, she was fine with this because it meant I wouldn't get grass stain and rustle, whatever would happen at school when you're being bad little boy. We would go to Detroit from Toledo, Ohio, and go to Hudson's, which is, became Dayton Hudson's. It was a 20-story department store in downtown Detroit, which is now demolished. Or if she was feeling really good, we'd go to Saks Fifth Avenue and buy me clothes to wear to school. So I was always dressed right and proper. Then that year, the English teacher, Jenny Hankins, decided that we should do some more reading of American literature, so she picked Mark Twain as one of the books. And I loved reading Mark Twain. You know, it really is an adult book, children's books, and social commentary. Thing is, all my classmates couldn't understand the Southern dialect. So all of a sudden, my experience from being from the South, or being born in the South and having family there, I could read Mark Twain, and they couldn't. So I used to sit with them at recess outside the gymnasium or a study hall, because the school had a policy if your grades are above a certain level, you could skip study hall and go outside, run through the woods or whatever. So I would have to read, I'm going to read this passage, it's easy to read and remember, to translate for them. This is Jim talking about the con men on the river. "I don't hanker for no more on them, Huck. These is all I can stand," which is I don't desire this. I don't want to meet any more of these men. That was what I would do. I spend my afternoons doing, and I was really special. I was intelligent. I knew things they didn't know. They didn't understand Mark Twain anyway, but I would have felt really like I was, you know, a special kid. I was a little rock star, a celebrity. I got to hold court with my classmates in my little jacket and tie from Saks Fifth Avenue or Hudson's. But my parents saw the book. Now, this is a man who went to the March on Washington. This is a mother and father who, when we were driving on vacation and the Voting Rights Act passed, they stopped the car at a rest area and got out and did a little dance in the parking lot. So when they picked up Mark Twain and saw Nigger Jim, they could not countenance that because they dealt with buying a house. When they bought the house, they had to have a white Lutheran contractor buy the property, build the house, and then sell it to them. And in the process, when the Polish auto workers discovered who was moving in, they broke out all their windows, wrote "motherfucking niggas go home" in the wet plaster. So my parents, they were a little sensitive to the terminology. I was very upset because I have power. You're taking my power away from me. How can you do this to me? They didn't really understand that. They went to the school, talked to Jenny Hankins. She talked to me, wanted to know what I felt about it, and I was like, I'm special. I really don't want to lose this bit of power I have over my classmates. So in the end, Jenny Hankins did not pull the book. You know, and I was very happy about that. Went on to my storied career as a student in Maumee Valley. I became student council president, or rather, we had a Politburo, actually. I had 6 votes. I still read Mark Twain. I actually read Mark Twain a lot for reading his editorial pieces in the Memphis Commercial Appeal, and I was doing a project reading about looking up lynchings. So I got to read The Murder Rags from 1875 to 1920. So I love Mark Twain. And when I thought about this story, I told my mother. And what she said to me, she laughed. She said, "That was really stupid of me. I'm an English major. I'm sorry I did that. But that was then, this is now."